This
is Mythical.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
This is Dispatches from Myrtle Beach with Charles Neal and my son Link from Good Mythical Morning. How you doing, Link?
Doing good, Dad. How are you?
Oh, I've been doing good down here in
Myrtle Beach,
yeah. where it's been hot.
It's still hot. It's we're getting into August. Yeah. It's still hot.
Oh, yeah, still hot.
Yeah. You know, you look good. You look good for being sweltering. People say, oh, you look good for your age, Charles. You look good for you. You have a good attitude for your age. You get all types of compliments, I bet.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. A lot of them, you know, you say, for somebody your age, you know, you don't look that age. You really don't look. When I tell somebody I'm 71, they say, ain't no way you're 71. I said, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm 71.
Let's say, so, well, what's the secret, Charles? What's the secret?
Living the life the best way you can live it and try to take care of yourself and hard work. I reckon hard work's what kept me fit and trim. And
yeah, active.
You know, active and being active. So I think that's got a lot to do with it.
Don't take no for an answer. And don't take shit from anybody. Or is there an occasion to take shit from somebody?
Yeah, there might be occasion as you get older that you take shit from somebody and just kind of let it go on about because there ain't no sense.
It's not worth getting worked up over everything, is it?
No, it ain't. No, it sure ain't.
Even at my age, it's like I'm trying just to... At the golden age of 45, I'm like, you know what? This isn't worth getting worked up over. I gotta rise above. Cause I feel like the stress can take minutes, days, years off your life.
Oh yeah.
What do you get stressed out over anything at this stage of your life? I mean, is there some worry that weighs on you? You lose sleep at night over anything?
Not very often. Not anymore. I mean, it's kind of like you said. I mean, hey, just let it flow and let it keep going because it's going to work out one way or the other. Whether it's either somebody likes it or they don't like it. They the one got to deal with it. If they don't like it, I ain't the one that if they didn't like it, that's too bad. I did the best I could do, and that's what I'm going to do and what I'm going to always do. Just, you know. And
have you ever been one to stress, though? Like,
oh, yeah.
So you used to be wound tighter than you are now. Would you call yourself like a worrier? Was it more, was it that you were intense or that it was nerves or anxiety? What form of it was? Because I know for Papa, he seemed to be a worry wart.
Mine won't much about being like worrying about what's going to happen or what's going to go on. Mine was more worrying about, was I going to be able to get this job through with, and was enough people going to show up to work to help me get this stuff finished, and
yeah,
all, you know, stuff like that. So mine's more like more work related worrying about, you know, it's just according to, you know, you can't worry about the weather. If you're doing something outside and it's going to rain, it's going to rain. So that you can't worry about that. You just let that go. So
you're like me. You worry about the stuff that you're in charge of, the stuff that's up to you, the stuff that you actually have control over. You worry about that. That's how I am. I don't worry about this. Like I like just laying back into the stuff that I don't have any control over. Matter of fact, sometimes I try to convince myself I don't have control over things I have control over, so that I don't worry about it as much.
Yeah, and now that I just kind of work by myself, I don't have to worry about it. You know, that took a lot of that off of me. So, you know,
yeah.
If I want to get up and go to work, I get up and go to work. If I don't feel like getting up and going to work, I just don't get up and go to work. So I probably call the people and tell them, but, you know, it ain't like it used to be when you kind of like stuff you do. When you got a deadline, when you doing something for a new house and people's wanting to move in, it you got to go to work and see if you can't get through with it. But it ain't like that for me no more, but it was for about 35 years.
That's good. That's life-giving. That's where I want to be when I'm 72.
Well, you'll get there one day. Yeah.
I was taking a walk, walking the dogs the other morning, and I try to use my walks as kind of like, instead of thinking about my day and planning things out and like living in the future, I try to stay on the walk. I try to look at the trees. I try to just breathe and just start my day in that moment, you know, as opposed to engaging in the worries. And I'm pretty good at not looking at my phone at all until I get back from my walk with the dogs. So that becomes like my special me time. It's almost meditative.
Yeah.
And the other day I was walking down the street, and sometimes in order to stay in the moment, I'll start talking to the dogs, which is really me talking to myself. And what I said to myself was, I don't have anything to worry about right now. I don't have anything. I can't come up with anything that I'm worried about. And it was one thing to think it, but it actually was another thing to say it. And then the dogs were like, me neither. You know, that's the great thing about a dog. Yeah. When I look at my dogs, it's like, you ain't got nothing to worry about. I'm looking at him because I brought him in today. You ain't got, come here, Jade. See, look at this. This thing right here ain't got nothing to worry about. You ain't got nothing to worry about. And you know what? I ain't got nothing to worry about.
That's right.
And Granddaddy ain't got nothing to worry about. And that makes me happy. I ain't worried about you.
That's right.
Look at her. People hate the way I handle my dogs. They're like, you man handle your dogs. They don't care. She loves me. She loves me no matter what.
Yeah, they.
But it's an inspiration.
Like, yeah.
I ain't got nothing to worry about. I mean, sometimes I do it at that particular, and I have a little something to worry about now, but at the time I didn't. And it was, when you find yourself with nothing to worry about, say it out loud. That's my idea for this episode. Take it away.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Thanks, Dad.
You know, when you say stuff out, when you say do say stuff out loud, you hear it yourself instead of not having it just kind of mull around in your brain, and then it sinks in a little bit different. So
yeah, and if anybody else hears it, they think you're crazy.
Well, it's a lot of people thought I've been crazy a long time.
yeah, par for the course with us. We're used to it.
Yeah, just.
Here's to that.
Yeah, well, I got a little story to tell you, a recognition story. When we, every starts in May down here at North Myrtle Beach, and they have music on Main and have a band every weekend on Thursday night from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock.
Okay.
And if you can see the ocean right behind, kind of like this picture back here now. Mm-hmm. So
don't tell them it's a picture, Dad. Everybody starts to believe it's real.
Okay. That ain't a picture back there. We are sitting on the beach.
That's
but
right.
Anyway, Nancy and I got through, and we were walking back up to the golf cart, and they
were Belch Life.
Yep. A guy and girl standing there, and when we were walking up, and all of a sudden they were, and he was a pretty big guy, bigger than me, a lot bigger than me. And he looked and he said, "Oh my God, that's Charles Neal from Dispatches from Myrtle Beach."
Oh, yeah.
And I said, "That would be correct." And we stood there and talked to him, and their names were Joshua and Olivia.
Shout out. Holler out.
And they were from Blacksburg, Virginia.
Okay.
And down here at the beach. So shouting out to Joshua and Olivia for recognizing me. And they were waiting for an Uber to go back to the wherever they were staying. And we sat and talked to them.
They were drunk off their ass, huh?
And took a couple pictures with them and did that thing. And then
did the thing.
Told
that's
them
right. Did the famous thing that you do now.
And told them, I said, keep telling people about Dispatches from Myrtle Beach and how they can send an email to us. So just keep it up and keep telling more people about it. And he said, we do. So I thought that was pretty neat. So
it's a stress-free show, Dad, you know?
Oh, yeah.
We're sitting here just vibing. We're just vibing off that ocean breeze, catching up with each other. And, Myrtle Beast, dear listener, you're just along for the ride, you know? You're just sitting in on a conversation between two guys. Keep taking it easy. Might as well be sitting on the beach. Yourself.
You're probably not going to like this next part, though. The first thing that come out of his mouth was, why aren't you on every week? We don't like this every 2 week thing. I said, we'll work on that and see what we figure out. I said, but we are doing some little things.
Many
dispatches on the thing. So, but yeah. That's not the first time I heard that, but
and I like those. You know, I listen to them because they make me feel like I'm a Myrtle Beast too, and I get to sit here and listen to just a little something that you want to share with everybody without me interrupting you. I like that.
Yeah. Hey, me and you interrupting one another is what it's all about.
Yeah.
Well, I got a thing. It's a podcast review contest.
Oh.
Logan explained to me that people write reviews about our podcast.
Yeah.
And Dispatches from Myrtle Beach.
On like Apple, like an Apple review of the podcast, yeah.
And I just want to do a contest for the best review that we get because we get stuff from Apple that y'all put it out on these things. So we're going to have a upcoming episode where, and it's for the rest of this month for y'all to send these reviews in. So you'll get a big holler out with what's going on here at Dispatches from Myrtle Beach.
So let me get this straight. You are basically bribing people to give a good review of your podcast.
That's exactly what I'm doing. If they want to be on and get a holler at, I'm bribing them.
What if it's a bad review? Are you gonna read any of the bad reviews?
Oh, I'm gonna read through some of them. I'm probably not gonna pick a bad review though.
Yeah. So y'all hear what he's saying? If you want, leave an Apple Podcast review. It's good for us to get reviews. I think that helps. Helps get the podcast out there. So if, what's it called when you sweeten the pot a little bit? If it's a notable review, according to you, Dad, you're saying you're going to read the review and give a holler out on the show. I'm with you.
That's what I'm going to do.
All right. He's laid down the gauntlet, Myrtle Beast. Are you going to write a review? Is it going to be worthy of Charles Neal himself to read? As a holler out on this show, well, it probably needs to be 5 stars. It probably needs to be not too long, not too short. It needs to feel sincere. Yet, also, what else, Dan? What do you want? What are you looking for in these reviews?
Just let me know how much they enjoy the podcast and the videos on YouTube. I mean. That's the main thing, that they enjoy it and
express yourself. It. What if it's like uses big words and it's just like journalistic? That would be good.
I probably ain't going to understand it no way. So they're going to have to bring it on down, you know, where I can
bring
understand.
It on down. Bring it on down. And then we'll put it on out. All right. I like that. Podcast review contest. You get a shout out, you got to holler out.
It's time for another edition of Myrtle Beach Mailbag. You know, just like those emails we want to do for the contest, we got some here to go over this week. And this one's from Mo. Oh, Mo sent us one in.
Mo.
It says, if you're American when you go in the bathroom and American when you come out, what are you in the bathroom?
Oh, I know this one. European.
Yeah.
European.
European, that's right. Yeah. That's good, Mo.
Yeah. Oh, well, Dad, you never heard that one?
Well, I heard it when I read it off the thing and kind of understood it then. I did get that.
I understand that you heard it when you read it. I was asking if you've ever heard that joke before. I mean,
no, I hadn't okay. heard it before.
Well, me neither.
Mo's email.
Me neither. European.
European. Yep. Okay. Oh,
if I didn't know better, I think that was your favorite one.
Yeah. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Myrtle Beast, I'm here to remind you that Good Mythical Evening is back on Thursday, August the 24th at 7 p.m. Pacific, streaming on KidsWee. More uncensored, unfiltered, and unhinged than ever. Go to goodmythicalevening.com for all details and to purchase your tickets. I got another email from Kamiko Jordan. I hope I pronounced your name right. Kamiko. Maybe okay. That's it. Kamiko Jordan.
There you go.
He wants to know, what's your funniest father and son memory together? And Link, what's the best advice your dad has ever given you?
Oh.
Well,
funnest memory we had together or funniest?
Well, it says funnest. That's what I'm going to say funnest.
All right, funnest. Thing. All right, we had some fun together. Yeah. All right, we'll go with
that. I'm going to say some of the funnest thing that we ever did was going out on the lake with Papa on the boat and getting on the kneeboard and going water skiing and doing all that stuff. Because
yes.
It was, yeah, I mean.
That was special.
Papa liked to see if we could knock us off the board or trip me up water skiing and make me hit the water and all. So that's some of the, probably the, you know, the funnest times. And then kind of like we talked the last time, probably all our 4th of July getting together and eating and going to see the fireworks and all that stuff like that. So that's probably some of the best times I remember when you were growing up and little and
then you got
a teenager.
You got Charles Lincoln Neal Sr., Charles Lincoln Neal Jr., Charles Lincoln Neal III, all out there on Harris Lake in the view of the nuclear power plant, Sharon Harris. But Garrett, I'm so glad you brought this one up because that we do have so many fond memories of being out there on the lake. And he liked to jerk us up out of the water, didn't he? I was actually talking to Christy about this the other day because we were driving in on the 5 and there's a Pyramid Lake people water ski out there. And I asked Christy if she'd ever water ski and she said, yeah. And I said, didn't believe her. So she grew up water skiing with family friends. And the more she talked about it, I did believe her. But I was like, I think I could do it now, but I would really need to watch my shoulders, you know, because if you don't do it right, you'll go head over toes it could just pull your arms out of socket. And my arms are kind of like prone to come out of socket. But yeah, I always remember, you know, there's like these pictures in my mind of you throughout the years as I grew up. It's just like the most badass dad things. Like I remember that I was telling you about that, the big jacked up four-wheel drive Chevy truck you had. And I was like, that is so badass. And then when we would go water skiing and you could do the slalom skiing and you could do the barefoot skiing. And it was just like country boy cred out the wazoo, man. I just felt like you had it. You still got it. And it was so cool.
Was fun.
And riding around in the back of the truck, it's like I felt like I was doing something dangerous.
Yeah.
And how fast were we going on the boat?
30, 35 mile an hour.
And then if you like took a nosedive, bam, you were just like.
Yeah, it was, you know, when we used to do it, I don't think y'all, you know, I always tried it because you'd see it on TV and they'd take that board and they'd flip it over and land back down on the board. And I tried that a bunch of times, but it didn't ever work out too good.
You tried doing one of these?
Yeah.
That's high risk. And you can stay in the middle and feel kind of safe. And then if you're like, okay, I'm going to go on the outside of the wake. So like you had that like boop, you go on the outside of the wake. And then when you came back, you could hit that wake and do a little jump and come. And if you did a big one, you could clear the whole wake and jump over to the other side.
That's right. Yep.
That, yes. I mean, that may be my funnest, Father, some memory. I remember we went, you had a camper, you had a, like a camper trailer, and we took that thing to Jordan Lake or Carr Lake.
Jordan Lake.
And we would set up there for a few days and camp. That was a good memory. That would just be the two of us. I think that's the first time we cracked a beer open together.
Yeah, it probably was.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it was, because it wasn't something we discussed. And I was, I was of age. I guess I was 21. I might not have been.
Yeah.
Maybe I was, it was around senior year of college. And it was, we were just chilling out by the camper and you cracked open a beer and then you said, you want one? And I'm like, I just remember that was a moment. It's kind of like this rite of passage where it's like, every other time if you were to crack open a adult beverage, you'd say, you want a Coca-Cola?
Oh, yes.
I think that's going on top for me is our cracking open some cold ones together at Jordan Lake.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. And what was the other question? Was there a...
What's the best advice your dad has ever given you?
Shut up. I mean, that's some good advice for me. Sometimes you just need to keep your mouth shut. Now, the best advice, I think is I'm cheating a little bit because you said this in a mini episode, but it's true. And I think that many times you would say it is just like, do what you love. It's come up a lot on this podcast, but like, as I was going through all my career changes, the way that you would support me through that, I think you understood the drive to find my thing and to give it a go, because that's what you yourself have done, and like finding what works for you, the advice kind of rolled up in there. Do what you love, go for it. If this isn't it, try something else. And I think that added bit of confidence has always meant a lot. Say, okay, I'm not the first one to take a risk for my own passions. Thank you for that, Dad.
Everything you were doing is kind of like what I did. Being self-employed, until you get successful at it, it's a lot of hard work. Things that goes on, but if you like what you're doing, keep at it.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's good advice. Thank you.
Well, I got another email from Emily Poole. My husband and I just recently bought a house and got married in Georgia.
Congratulations.
Yep. The house is in great condition and we're in the process of personalizing it. Okay, Emily. Personalizing it to make it our home. In one of the bedrooms, I'd like to do an accent wall of floral wallpaper. Mm-hmm. But I remember watching my parents hang and remove wallpaper back in the 90s. Has the process gotten any easier to put up and remove years later if we want to change it? And if so, do you have any tips for making sure it looks nice?
Wallpaper advice from Charles Neal. Go.
And she ain't going to like my wallpaper advice because I don't like wallpaper. And I tried putting it up one time, kind of like your parents. But if you want to put wallpaper up, And want it to be put up like you ought to hire somebody that does it for a living.
Are you in the market?
No, I don't put, I don't put wallpaper up. I tear it off walls. That's the reason I don't like it. Because people put it up and don't put it up like they're supposed to. And it's just, but
what about peeling stick? Peel and stick is the new thing now, where it's supposed to be easier.
I don't even I don't even keep up with it. I don't even know what kind of wallpaper you buy now, what you put it up with, if it's still with the glue and then you put it on the wall. But Emily,
you don't know and you don't care. Just be honest.
But I am going to tell you this. I do know what you need to put on the walls before you put the wallpaper on it. And it's called wallpaper sizing. That's S-I-Z-I-N-G.
Okay.
And it's not even hardly light paint. It's real thin. But if you put this on your walls and let it dry a day before you put your wallpaper up, then it seals the walls up where when you take it down, it won't tear the sheetrock up. So I do know enough. If I was going to put it up, I would make sure.
Dramatic pause for water.
That you got to put that sizing on the wall where you can take it back down. And for God's sake, don't put wallpaper on top of wallpaper. Take it off and put the other back on. Because if you're going to put two up and try to get them off, it's a nightmare.
He's upset. You've upset him.
So, Emily, I'm sorry. I'm a painter. I'm not a wallpaper person. So, that's the best I can do for you because I don't like wallpaper.
We got floor wallpaper in our bedroom, wall to wall, floor to floor. And we played it. What's the word? We paid a pretty penny for it because the person who put that stuff up charged us. And it was a type of design that like it had to be lined up exactly right to repeat.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that's how a lot of them are, like with this floral design she's talking about. And he was so meticulous that it killed him. I mean, he literally
killed him.
He died. The last wallpaper job he had was ours. And he was so good. He was an old guy. Poor guy. He was so meticulous. He was great at it. But it killed him. Okay. He did die, though. Boy, that really took a turn.
But after you left.
I mean, so I guess I'm on your side, Dad. The wallpaper's beautiful. It really is. I don't know if he did the sizing, but everything he did.
I guarantee.
We've got a fireplace that is stone, and it's like really... It goes kind of all over the place. And he was sitting there cutting that stuff to go all around it perfectly. And I would feel guilty ever taking it down because it was literally this guy's last job. He didn't die on the job. We finished. We paid him. And then we called to get him to do something else, and he was dead.
Well.
It happens.
That's
wallpaper for you.
That's just life. Yeah, that's just you.
Right. You're getting no sympathy from the Neil boys today. Dad says, well, that's life. Death. That's life.
Yeah, that's just part of it. I'm telling you.
Yeah, one day you're hanging wallpaper, the next year you're hanging yourself out to dry. Well, he didn't. Oh, I didn't mean to do that. I don't know how he died.
Aww.
Come on, Logan. Don't be so. That's life.
That's so sad.
So, Logan, are we going to do...
Logan's too sad.
I am sad.
Logan's over there tearing up.
Now it's time for a word from our sponsor. Okay, we got some other emails, and one's from Lillian McAvoy. When my boyfriend informed me that his family was going on vacation to Myrtle Beach and that I was invited, I was absolutely elated. My question in... What in the heck should I do while I'm there? As an expert, I need your best recommendation for an art-loving, animal-loving Myrtle Beast.
You've come to the right place.
I'm going to tell you about a place, and it's according to what time of the year you come, but it is a beautiful place, and it's called Brook Green Gardens, and it's down below Myrtle Beach. But you can take a trip to Brook Green Gardens Low Country Zoo in Murrells Inlet to see alligators, eagles, deer, and horses.
Oh.
You will also enjoy internationally acclaimed sculptures amid local floral and 300 species of South Carolina water birds.
Oh, are you reading this off the website?
Yeah, I'm reading it off Brook Green's website.
Eagles, alligators, and horses?
Well, Lillian, let me tell you, this is one pretty place, Brook Green Gardens. And it's pretty in the summertime, and you get to go and look at all the things that you like and while you're there. But I'm going to give you a little tip. If you get a chance to bring your boyfriend back to Myrtle Beach in the month of December,
oh,
they decorate this place for Christmas. And all those oak trees that you're talking about, they call it the Thousand Lights in Brook Green Gardens. And these things are draped down in all these trees. And then they have all other kind of lights and stuff. It is one beautiful place to go to at Christmas time, too. Hmm. But I've been there in the summer, too. Now, it's kind of hot, so carry you some water to drink. But it's a beautiful place to go because you will get to see, as you said, your art-loving and animal-loving Myrtle Beach. You'll be able to get to take in all those things there.
Yeah.
Just take a special day to go down there when you're down here at Myrtle Beach. So enjoy Brook Green Gardens.
Mm. And tell them who sent you.
Charles Neal from Dispatches from Myrtle Beach.
Yep, that's exactly what she'll say.
Well, I'm going to try to help somebody that's got in a little bit of trouble here and try to help them get out of the woods. So I got a little thing, email here from Stephen.
Okay.
And Stephen says, I need some advice. Boy, Stephen, you come to the right place.
They're lining up, Dad. Everybody needs a little piece of you.
It's time for another edition of I'll Help You Get Out of the Woods. And says, I have recently gone through a breakup, and last Thursday, we had a work party where I made out with a coworker. Not a boy, Stephen. We were both quite drunk. The next day was fine, and she and I both acted as if nothing had ever happened, and we had a professional work day. But it all feels awkward. So far, no gossip has started, but there were enough coworkers who noticed us, even caught us on the way home.
Oh,
wait a minute, I ain't reading. There were enough coworkers who noticed us that two even caught us on the way home, where nothing happened other than me walking her home in the middle of the night. So gossip will be inevitable, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for me?
So what you going to tell him?
Stephen, I know y'all had a little drink or two and you were a little tipsy, but it sounds like there might have been something there that kind of drawed you two together. You knew. And they may be being you kind of probably looking for somebody else, and I don't know what the criteria is there where you work at, but, you know, people's going to talk. It don't make no difference, I'm telling you. And their opinion should not mean a thing in the world to you or her if it was something you both enjoy and you was kissing, and it might lead to something else, and it may lead to a better girlfriend than you had before. Yeah. So, you know, I would probably have to ask this girl. I said, you know, I enjoyed the other night. Maybe you and I could go out and get something to eat, and maybe I can walk you back home again. So we'll just have to see where it goes from there. And,
yeah.
And, not put any timeline on stuff, just to see how it works out.
Yeah, so just be cool about it.
That'd be my advice for you, Stephen. Yeah.
See if you can build on it, is what you're saying. What do I think?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if she's not saying anything and he's not saying anything, maybe they're each waiting for the other person to say something. So, and if that case, you're definitely right. I mean, you never know unless somebody says something. And if everybody else starts saying something and you've not said anything, it's going to make it even harder for you to say something.
Oh, yeah.
So you need to nip it in the bud. Go ahead and have a talk.
Just cross that bridge and just keep right on going. There's too many fish in the sea.
But work parties are just, that's dicey. I just think, if you can, just try to have your fun in a different environment. I mean, it just complicates things too much.
Yeah, I did the best I could do.
Yeah, and it was a lot better than me.
Steven. Yeah. Well, Link, looks like we've come to the end of another episode from Dispatches from Myrtle Beach.
Yep.
I hope y'all had fun with us here today, and just join us next week for another mini dispatch. And if you got a joke or a question you'd like to share with me, email me at ratherbeshaggin53@aol.com. So I hope you enjoyed the show, and y'all just keep watching and keep telling other people about it. Just keep bringing them in. Bring them in.
I'm a ski on out of here, Dad.
All right.
Pop it up.
Y'all have a great weekend.
I'm skipping out of the wake.
Woo! Love you, Dad. Love you, too. I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Oh, bye.